This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On June 12, 2007, the City Planning Commission voted 3-1-1 to approve a motion establishing that the proposed Meadow Creek Parkway interchange at the Route 250 bypass and McIntyre Road is consistent with the city's 2001 comprehensive plan. The vote came after a public hearing in which participants were asked to limit their comments to whether the interchange fit in with the plan. Charlottesville Tomorrow recorded the event and brings you the proceedings. The hearing was chaired by Planning Commission Vice Chair Bill Lucy. Chairman John Fink and Commissioner Michael Osteen were not present.
Well, we are ready to proceed now with the second item, which is scheduled for public hearing, which is the Route 250 interchange at McIntyre Road. This is a rather complicated project, but also complicated timing of this hearing and discussion pertinent thereto. To help us understand the issues before us tonight and the reasons for this particular timing, as well as other parts of a public process and decision-making process which will follow in the next month or two. Mr. Tolbert will help inform us about that.
Tonight you have an item on your agenda before you that's most appropriately entitled the Route 250 interchange at the McIntyre Road project. I think sometimes we get caught up in referring to it as the Meadow Creek Parkway interchange, but its official name is the 250 interchange at McIntyre Road project. Before you tonight on the agenda is a decision simply to determine the consistency of this project with the comprehensive plan. And when we say with the comprehensive plan, of course, we're talking about the 2001 comprehensive plan because we're still in development of the 2006 or 7 comprehensive plan. This item will go to City Council at their schedule right now at their July 2nd meeting, where they will have two issues that they will deal with. One will be to determine the consistency with the comprehensive plan based on considering your recommendation. The other will be to select a preferred alternative for the interchange design so that they can move forward, the engineering firm can move forward with the design phase of their contract on the design of the interchange. So that's the actions that council will take. The reason it's before you tonight is before that action is taken on the moving forward with the design, there needs to be this determination of consistency with the comprehensive plan of the interchange. So, again, this is not about the parkway. This is not about alternative selection. This is simply about consistency of the interchange with the comprehensive plan. The order that we're going to do this is Owen Perry with RK&K, who are the engineers that have been working with our design team, Owen's going to make a presentation to you to give you some background on the work that's been going on with the steering committee and the actual status of the design work. When he finishes, I'm going to get back up and talk a little bit about where we feel the consistency is with the comprehensive plan, and then the city attorney is going to disclose and make sure that we all understand the requirements legally that you're asked to consider. So with that, I'll turn it over to Owen Perry with RK&K.
Mr. Perry.
Thank you. My name is Owen Peary. I'm with RK&K Engineers supporting the City of Charlottesville on the 250 interchange project. And tonight, as soon as we get it up and running, we have a PowerPoint. And in case you can't see the screen too good, we also have some handouts of the same slides that will be on the PowerPoint for the Planning Commission as well as for the City Council members that are here. Thank you. John Koch's helping me as well. He's with RK&K, one of our lead engineers on the project. First of all, thank you for having us here tonight. Go ahead, John. I'm just going to go over the project status as it is now. I'm going to, and a lot of this information was in the packet that you've already received, the retained alternatives that we're investigating at this point in time, and the next steps the project will undergo through the rest of the summer and this year. First off, I need to recognize the steering committee that's done a ton of heavy lifting on this project. I think Ms. Lewis mentioned earlier there's been 9 steering committee meetings, including one about a month and a half ago or 2 months ago. There was a 2-day meeting. All of these people, I think there are 5 steering committee members here tonight that are present, at least there were a few minutes ago, and they've been doing a lot of work on this project in addition to the project team. One of the first orders of business was to identify the purpose and need of the project and the goals and objectives. These were in your packet. I'm not going to read every single one of them, but of course connectivity is a major issue with this project, connectivity from neighborhoods and to McIntyre Park, as well as safety. And safety, that's only also for not only for the traveling public motorists, but also for pedestrians and bicyclists as well. Some of the goals and objectives include, of course, bicyclist and pedestrian access to McIntyre Park, also enhancing park access through this project, and building a sort of a gateway or an entryway into Charlottesville and into the McIntyre Park area as you were to drive or to walk through this interchange area. Project coordination that's been going on has included coordination with the city of Charlottesville. Planning District Commission, the Thomas Jefferson Plan District Commission, VDOT, and the Federal Highway Administration have all been involved. As I said, we've been meeting with the steering committee since November 2005 all the way through to today. The May 2007 meeting was a 2-day peer review where we brought in outside people to take a look at our process so far and what we had accomplished to date. And I think we got some really good feedback during that two-day session. And in May, we began environmental agency and analysis with the environmental agencies. Most of the technical studies are now complete. Environmental assessments are underway, and they're going to be ongoing this summer. And we've had an early agency coordination meeting that started in May as well. The 2001 comprehensive plan recognizes there is a safety issue at the intersection of McIntyre Road and the 250 bypass, and we believe we've been designing our project so far and our concepts with an eye towards relieving that safety issue and enhancing safety in this area. Also noted in the comprehensive plan, off-street pathways need to be developed for consistency. With the 2001 comprehensive plan, and the priority there is, once again, safety, pedestrian use, and then you go down to vehicular traffic, drainage, environmental impacts, and I believe these are reflected in the goals and the purpose and need of our project, and our eyes have been on these all along. Our project will meet the Americans with Disability Act. Any concept we've come up with has done so, and it also will meet all ASHTO standards, and that's been our underlying guidelines, with at least as far as our engineering stands. Public involvement. We've had 2 citizen information meetings, one in March 2006, where we had 14 preliminary alternatives for this interchange. Later last summer, in June, we presented all 14 of those again, but we had refined them somewhat, and we had narrowed it down to possibly 5 alternatives, 4 build alternatives, and the no build, which recognizes the Meadow Creek Parkway. In addition, all of our steering committee meetings are open to the public, and they are attended by public citizens, as well as we have an ongoing website that has a questionnaire on it. People have written us on that as well. So we try to get materials updated on the website as soon as possible. I think most of the materials you've looked at to date are on the website, and what you've been handed and what you're looking at tonight will be on the website by tomorrow morning. So it's pretty real time. It's not instantaneous, but we have all the information up there for the public to view. Just briefly, some of the traffic issues and safety issues. Average daily traffic on the bypass is 38,000 vehicles a day. That's measured in 2006, and on McIntyre Road, it's 17,400 vehicles a day. That turns into what we call level of service. Those are rated between A and F, a level of service D in the morning, and a level of service C at this point in time in the evening. That's with the three-legged intersection that's out there today. Accident safety data. We went back and, with the help of the Charlottesville Police Department, researched safety information and accident history in this area. The statewide crash rate for four-lane divided highways, which the 250 bypass is about 96 per 100 million vehicle miles traveled. 2004 crash rate between Rugby Avenue and Park Street was 320 per 100 million miles traveled, or 233% of the state average. Granted, that's just one minor piece of the road. A lot of those we saw were rear-end type of accidents where people don't see someone stopping to make the left turn ahead of them or slowing down or crossing to get all the way across the lanes from Park to take the left on McIntyre. Of course, an interchange in this location will eliminate all of those conditions because it'll be pretty much a through movement on the bypass, and all the turning movements will happen down on the interchange ramp. So hopefully a lot of those rear-end type accidents would disappear, and you'd expect them to disappear with an interchange. I'm going to briefly go through the current preliminary concept interchange alternatives as they are today. Go ahead, John. Alternative A is our no-build alternative. This is the at-grade intersection, Meadow Creek, McIntyre Road extended, as it currently being designed by VDOT and the City of Charlottesville. Go ahead. Alternative B is a partial cloverleaf that attempts to put most of the construction in the valley floor, that's the Natural Creek Valley in the area. Because of its two roundabouts, the steering committee appears to be leaning away from this interchange concept because it seems rather complicated from a traffic standpoint, as well as to get pedestrians through this interchange. So this interchange is likely to be recommended to not be considered for design. Alternative C1. This is one that the steering committee seems to be focusing on, one of two, as to being simple and within the and meets the project need and purpose and objectives and the goals of the project. One thing to note, our drawing here hasn't quite caught up with our conversation with the steering committee last week. While all of our ramps and trails on this concept will and do in this picture meet ADA requirements and all the other requirements of the city, one of the charges our design team has is to provide a grade separated overpass, or I guess underpass, but at least a grade separated pedestrian access across the new McIntyre Road to the north of this interchange, as the note says up there. Our engineers are busy working on that right now. And by the time this comes to City Council in a month, our new drawings are going to reflect ADA-appropriate trails and either bridges or other means of getting across or under McIntyre Road extended to provide grade separated access through the 250 corridor as well as across the McIntyre Road corridor, so that someone could access the park without conflicting, if they wanted to, without conflicting with vehicular traffic. Go ahead. Alternative E2, once again, is a partial cloverleaf design, more of a parkway-style design, but once again, the steering committee seems to be leaning towards a recommendation to City Council that this would not be considered for final design because of its complexity as well, and some of the issues it has with pedestrian crossings. And alternative G1, another simple diamond-style interchange. This one does not have a roundabout and would have signalized intersections at the bottoms of the ramp So we're leaving the round. All the rest of the alternatives had roundabouts. We're leaving the roundabout alternatives here. Once again, same notes I made on the trails and access to the park on alternative C1. Our engineers and our architects are busy right now working out a trail. And you can see on this one, we represent a dotted bridge-type structure to the north. We're refining those alignments now and those trail specifics to show for City Council within now and the next 3 weeks. The retained alternatives, all proposed build alternatives accommodate the projected traffic. All the build alternatives require two-lane roundabouts. All of them result in a level of service B or C operations at all the ramp terminals. Some traffic items are still being coordinated, and these are motorist traffic items, and that is the build alternative, the weaving with Park Street ramps and had the disposition there, and the ramp lanes entering and leaving the interchange roundabouts. There's some options there you saw. There's maybe sort of like a double right or a double lane leaving the roundabouts, and others there's only single lanes, and we're working out those issues as well with our traffic and with the steering committee. Real briefly, we've done preliminary estimates. The current allocation per the current approved VDOT six-year plan as of 2007 showed a showed an allocation of $29 million for this project. Very, very preliminary estimates for this project are right now showing between $30 and $34 million. The two interchange alternatives that the steering committee seems to be focused on are on the lower end of that spectrum. A couple of the others had a little more pavement or a little more complex. Keep in mind these are very preliminary planning estimates, and in further detail, these estimates are going to be refined. Just to briefly show you where we are in the process, next steps. As Mr. Tolbert said, on July 2nd, we plan to take this before the City Council. At that point in time, not only will it be for consistency with the comprehensive plan, but it would also be a discussion of the different interchange alternates and some of the details we didn't get into here tonight. July through September, our team is still going to be working on the recommended alternatives and drafting our environmental documents and doing our 4F work with regard to the parks. We hope to have a draft EA environmental assessment and a 4F document by October 2007, having a NEPA, an official public hearing that VDOT and the National, and NEPA would recognize by November and late this year, going back to council with all of that information and a recommended preferred alternative back to City Council, hopefully resulting in early 2008, Federal Highway Administration approval of City Council and the NEPA documents recommended preferred alternative. That's all I have on my prepared comments.
Right. Mr. Perry covered a lot of these, but just to discuss the consistency issues, again, because that's your decision point tonight, is the interchange project consistent with the comprehensive plan? The 2001 plan, as he indicated, talks about in the transportation section, Chapter 10, talks about peak congestion at several places, particularly one at McIntyre Road in the 250 bypass, and the need to alleviate that congestion. The Meadow Creek Parkway project is in the comprehensive plan as an approved project by reference of the chart 2015 project, and that project, of course, anticipated all along some kind of intersection with the 250 bypass. City Council, as a condition since December of 2000, has required as part of their approval of the Meadow Creek Parkway project a grade-separated interchange at the 250 bypass. So by reference of the Meadow Creek Parkway, with council's conditions, it would be assumed then that it anticipated a grade separated interchange. The comprehensive plan, as Mr. Perry pointed out, also addresses sidewalk connectivity. This issue is also found in the transportation plan, and it anticipates integrated pedestrian facilities in all construction projects, which this project does. It also speaks to connectivity, and this project does provide a great deal of pedestrian connectivity from one side of the I-250 bypass to the other. I think it's important to note that while the interchange itself is not specifically in the comprehensive plan, there are many things about an interchange that are consistent with the comprehensive plan. Were it specifically spelled out in the comprehensive plan, we wouldn't be here tonight discussing this. The fact it's not in there is not an issue. It's just a matter of determining the consistency with the comprehensive plan by the interchange project. So, again, staff recommendation is that this is consistent with the comprehensive plan, and would recommend that you find so and make that statement to City Council. And we would like, just for clarification, Craig, Mr. Brown, just to close with making sure we all understand what is at issue tonight.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, I don't have a lot to add. I'll be glad to try to answer any questions. One point in looking at the proposed schedule that was presented to you earlier, it looks like the final design of the interchange will be sometime late this year. What the statute that mandates this review requires is that no street connection to an existing street, enlargement, change of use shall be constructed, established, or authorized until you make a finding as to whether it's consistent with the comprehensive plan. I think given the possible action the council may take next month, that may be the first step towards authorization of a particular design. And that is why it is recommended come to you tonight. Obviously, from the presentation earlier, you could tell that there is a lot of work left to be done, even if the design alternatives are narrowed to one. And to that, I would note that this statute that requires your review does not require your approval or review of something to the detail of final construction drawings. You are to look at the general location or approximate location, character, and extent thereof, and determine whether that is in accordance or substantially in accordance with the adopted comprehensive plan. So that's kind of an overview of the statutory review that you undertake, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have two questions, but perhaps others want to go first.
I'll ask maybe a question that Mr. Lucy had posed earlier in an email, and I didn't see a reply, but we are following, because we haven't adopted our newest comprehensive plan, we're abiding by the 2001 version with authority taken from the 2007 where we think it's clear that we've in agreement that we've added new things, or I just wondered which of that combination we are relying on here.
Yeah, I think you are required to look at the comprehensive plan, which is in effect right now, at the time of your review. And Mr. Tolbert alluded to this. You know, at a certain level, I think you can look at it and say, well, how can something be in accordance with the comprehensive plan if it's not in there? But the fact that it's not in there is what requires this review. If it was already shown in the adopted comprehensive plan, which is the 2001 plan, then you would not be required to undertake this exercise. It's only because it's not in there. And therefore, you look at the proposal and you look at the plan as a guide for what you want the community to look like.
Well, I have two procedural questions. Should I go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the first is, will the Planning Commission have any additional opportunity to review the proposed interchange and vote on it?
From a legal perspective, not that I'm aware of. Now, that is something that Council would certainly ask you to look at, but in terms of a legally mandated review, that this is your role tonight.
And the second is, I'd like to read the joint public hearing announcement and then ask you to interpret certain words, which I will flag as I go along. Pursuant to Virginia Code Section 15.2-2232, the Planning Commission will review the proposed, I guess I should substitute, Route 250 interchange at McIntyre Road to determine if the general or approximate, and here I want to flag these words, approximate location, character, and extent of the proposed interchange is substantially in accord with the city's adopted comprehensive plan or part thereof. The Planning Commission shall communicate its findings to the Charlottesville City Council with written reasons for its approval or disapproval. The design concepts of the proposed interchange, actually I want to flag that too, written reasons for its approval or disapproval. The design concepts of the proposed interchange may be examined at the Department of Neighborhood Development Services, et cetera. So my questions here are about two subjects. One is this written reasons. We don't have written reasons yet. We haven't voted. So I'm wondering what the timing of our action should be and the process that we should follow to arrive at a written statement and when that should happen. The second question concerns the meaning of the words character and extent, because those are clearly both ambiguous but broad and need to have sufficient content so that we literally know what we're talking about.
In response to your first question, at that point when a majority of the commission is ready to take action, whether you find that the proposed intersection improvements are in accordance with the comprehensive plan or are not in accordance with the comprehensive plan, that a motion in either event identify the reasons why or the reasons in support of that conclusion. And if you do that, and assuming the motion passes again in whichever direction, then I think at that point it would be staff's obligation to reduce that to writing and to convey it to City Council.
Well, given the schedule has been laid out, is there any expectation that the Planning Commission should act tonight or at a subsequent work session followed and then the next Planning Commission meeting, which would not occur until after July 2nd?
Yeah, I think the anticipation was that the Commission would act tonight.
Although we do not have a written statement of either approval or disapproval.
No,
at this point.
You don't.
Okay.
And I don't know from a legal perspective that I can give you a whole lot of guidance on the statutory language about character and extent, because you're exactly right. Those are quite ambiguous, and they are very broad. In one sense, I think it is somewhat fitting for this situation where the plans have not been finalized, and you don't have something to the detail of construction drawings, but you do have a design which I think you can evaluate in terms of consistency and have an idea of the character and the extent of the proposed interchange.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, sir. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that the written reasons for approval or disapproval would be formed in the portion of the motion, as we've done in the past, either citing specific sections of the comprehensive plan or titles from the comprehensive plan from 2001 that would either undermine or support the recommendation.
And as I said, it would be, from my perspective, it would be staff's obligation at that point to reduce your motion, assuming it passes, with the reasons, therefore, and reduce that to writing and convey it to City Council on behalf of the Commission.
Other questions for Mr. Brown or Mr. Peary or Mr. Holbrook? Questions from councilors for Mr. Tolbert, Mr. Brown, or Mr. Peary? Okay. Well, then I guess we are ready to proceed to public hearing. Public hearing is open. We have eight members of the public who have signed up. Please keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less. Less is preferred. Ms. Creasy will give you a signal when the 30 seconds remain. The first person signed up is Pat Kelly. And can you, when you come forward, can you please give your address as well?
I'm Patrick Kelly. I live in Albemarle County, and I'm here representing the members of Charlottesville and Albemarle American Legion Post 74 in reference to the Dogwood Vietnam Memorial that's in the site of the interchange. And before I try to cram my 5 minutes remarks into 3 minutes, I would like to know if I could have permission to ask how many members of the panel are veterans so I can judge who I'm talking to.
I'm a veteran.
Anyone else? Thank you. I would like to begin my remarks with a paraphrase from Winston Churchill. Poor is the nation that has no military heroes. Poor still is a nation that has military heroes and does not honor their memory. We view this memorial in three aspects, the first being the historical aspect. Charlottesville has many unique historical sites and buildings. One wonders what would be the reaction if the city of Charlottesville wanted to put the proposed interchange through the county office building or the Albemarle County courthouse. If this is absurd, why is the destruction of this memorial not absurd? Why should a community want to erase a historical site for an interchange? Is the community ashamed of service and sacrifice? This memorial is unique in all the world. It is the first national civic memorial to the Vietnam War. From that aspect alone, does it not deserve preserving the memory of local citizens for future generations? As George S. Patton Jr. said, it is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived. On the personal aspect, what does this proposal say to the families who have an emotional and personal tie to the site? I will invite city representatives before me to make a statement to any mother whose son's name is on that monument, whose son was killed in action, who's a Gold Star mother. Why the city does not believe that her son's memory, service, and sacrifice are not important enough to preserve as a monument with her son's name? What might we think of those whose memories we honor? No man worth his salt is not ready at all times to risk his well-being, to risk his body, to risk his life in a great cause, according to Theodore Roosevelt. On the emotional aspect, all Vietnam veterans are proud of their service and the sacrifice of their fellow servicemen and women in Vietnam. Of the 9,087,000 veterans who served during Vietnam, only 2.6 million saw combat. And we saw more intense combat than the average World War II veteran. The average infantryman in the South Pacific during World War II saw about 40 days of combat in 4 years. The average infantryman in Vietnam saw about 240 days of combat in 1 year, thanks to the mobility of the helicopter. When one of us passes the memorial out here on 250, we feel a kinship and respect for those men and mark our service by those who gave the ultimate sacrifice.
You've reached 3 minutes. I think that maybe you took some of your time with questions, so finish in 30 more seconds.
Okay, thank you. In closing, the spotlight is on you, the members of the Planning Commission. Will you rise to the occasion and do the right thing? Preserving a living memorial to the memories of young men, community members, who gave their lives for the defense of freedom in Vietnam, or sweep their memory under the asphalt of their proposed interchange. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, would it be inappropriate to address that comment at this point?
I think we can address it later.
Later?
Okay. it would be appropriate to address it, but at the appropriate time.
All right.
Second person signed up is Mr. Peter Kleeman, 407 Hedge Street.
Good evening. I'm Peter Kleeman. I live at 407 Hedge Street in the city. And I must say that I am not an expert in comprehensive planning, although I am very interested in this topic. And I felt challenged by the idea of understanding how this project could be evaluated to be consistent or inconsistent with the existing comprehensive plan. So after scratching my head a bit on this and exploring the comprehensive plan, I think of this project as being a regionally significant project in that it links with the Meadow Creek Parkway, which links with the McIntyre Road, which links with the interchange, and US 250, which is a national highway system roadway. And this is all about transportation through the city, north, south, east, and west. So when looking at the comprehensive plan, in what is Section 10 in the existing plan, and this would be Section 6 in the upcoming draft plan, talks about transportation systems issues, goals, and objectives, and it says the transportation system goal, the overarching goal, is to provide, I quote, to provide a safe, efficient transportation system that reduces single occupancy vehicle travel, and there's a target from 61% to 50% for commuters, by prioritizing options for mode of travel while at the same time enhancing the quality of life in the city, facilitating development in priority locations, preserving valued cultural resources, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and conserving natural resources. As I look at the project development to date, and I try to see which of those overarching goals are forwarded by this project, I find pretty much none. It does not promote options for modes of travel. It does not improve the quality of life as I see it. Of course, that's debatable. It impacts valued cultural resources, increases greenhouse gas emissions, and does not conserve natural resources. So in my evaluation on this simple goal-oriented, of which I guess our comprehensive plan is based, trying to look at what our future goals are and how can we achieve them, I find it difficult to see how this project advances any of those overarching goals. Clearly, as was discussed in the presentation by the consultants, it does address some local issues of safety, intersection improvement, etc. But I would think of those as not being the major significant goals of the comprehensive plan. And I feel that either the comprehensive plan needs to be expanded to consider some of the goals met by this project, else I would argue that I find this inconsistent with these goals, and I would have to conclude this project is inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The third person on the list is Morgan Butler, 201 West Main Street.
Good evening. My name is Morgan Butler, and I'm with the Southern Environmental Law Center. I head our Charlottesville Albemarle project, which works to promote sustainable land use and transportation in both the city and the county. I would like to say a few words tonight with respect to some of the goals of the city's comprehensive plan and offer a couple of recommendations for ensuring that those goals are not overlooked in the effort to quickly move forward on the interchange project. The comp plan repeatedly recognizes the need to establish viable pedestrian and bicycle networks in the city. One important goal this serves is cutting down on congestion by promoting transportation alternatives. The comp plan also acknowledges the recreational benefits of bike and pedestrian networks and therefore recognizes the need to link these networks with the city's park and recreational areas. As a result of these goals, the implementation section of the comp plan announces a policy of integrating pedestrian and bikeway thinking into the review process of all transportation plans. Based on the most recent steering committee meetings, there is significant concern among some members that access to McIntyre Park and the preferred alternatives is inadequate and that the proposed pedestrian and bicycle crossings are unsafe and unworkable, even after recent efforts to tweak those designs. In order to develop an interchange design that properly provides for bicycles and pedestrians in accordance with the comp plan, we recommend that the Metropolitan Planning Organization be asked to provide input and advice on the current designs. The MPO's expertise in this area could be used to help develop safe and convenient pedestrian and bicycle movements that accommodate both commuter and recreational users. The consultant tonight explained that new pedestrian crossings are being explored. We would suggest getting the NPO's feedback as they explore these new crossings. The comp plan also recognizes the importance of an effective transit service in reducing traffic on city streets. However, it appears that very little consideration has been given to how the 250 interchange will accommodate and facilitate transit service along this corridor. Again, the NPO's assistance should be sought regarding the integration of transit into the interchange design. Finally, the comp plan's transportation policy recommendations include the objective that transportation facilities be developed and built in a manner sensitive to the environment. In the interchange illustrations provided to the public this far, it is difficult to envision how the current designs would impact and interact with a number of environmental challenges, including number one, very steep topography, number two, the presence of neighboring parkland, and number three, a nearby stream. We recommend that a better visualization of the project's relation to the site be created using techniques such as computer-assisted design or even something as simple as three-dimensional modeling. A better visualization would ensure that the public understands and is comfortable with the impact the interchange will have on the surrounding environment. While we understand the desire to move quickly on this project, we must make sure that the ultimate design better integrates pedestrian and bicycle movements, facilitates transit, and is sensitive to the natural environment as prescribed by the comprehensive plan. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The fourth speaker is Colette Hall, 101 Robertson Lane.
Good evening, Planning Commissioners. My name is Colette Hall, and I'm president of North Downtown Neighborhood. And this interchange will first and foremost affect the North Downtown Neighborhood before it affects any other neighborhoods. And this is why I chose to speak tonight. When I looked at the proposed agenda my email, I saw that you were going to be discussing or thinking about how it fit into the comprehensive plan. It confused me because I wasn't sure if I was supposed to look at the 2001 present comprehensive plan or the draft comprehensive plan that hasn't quite been approved, and not being staff here or on any commission, it is confusing to know which to what I was to refer. But let me add that there are at least two sitting members of our present city council who have told the North Downtown Neighborhood that even if the interchange is not built, the Meadow Creek Parkway is not built, they would still like the interchange built. However, last summer at this time, when I talked to Senator John Warner's office, who secured the $27 million federal funding for this interchange project, and also Mr. Marshall, who is a personal friend of Senator Warner's and former chairman of the Board of Supervisors and helped secure this funding, it was reassured to us that if the Meadow Creek Parkway was not built, then no interchange would be built because the funding is predicated on the building of the Meadow Creek Parkway. I'm not sure how this fits into the comprehensive plan, but I think it's very important to note that. Second is the noise. And the comprehensive plan, I'm sure, talks about how the neighborhoods are affected environmentally, and noise to me is an environmental issue. As of this time, or at least as of yesterday, on the 250 website that Mr. Puri and RK&K put up so conveniently for the public, there is no noise data. And I find that very unfortunate for you who must make a decision or possibly make a decision tonight when there is no noise data. If this 250 interchange is built, the 250 street will be raised. So therefore, there will be increased noise to the neighborhood. And finally, the big connectivity issue. At the alternatives that you will be looking at and the city council will be looking at, and I also brought this up as the only public at the June 4th 250 Steering Committee meeting. At this point, pedestrian and bicycle crossings are at grade. Now, I know the Steering Committee has definitely brought this issue up, and there is an attempt and will be an attempt to change that, but the North Downtown Neighbors and I think the public in general will never accept an interchange that has at-grade crossing for pedestrians and bicyclists. Thank you.
Thank you. The fifth speaker is John Conover, 104 West High Street.
Mr. Lucy, commissioners, I am a member of the steering committee. We were encouraged to come tonight, and now I think there was a little miscommunication, so I'm not here to relate it exactly to the comprehensive plan. In the May meeting, we had some outside experts come, peer consultants, at the behest of City Council. They looked at the work being done and said there's potential there, that we should strive for excellence. They commented on a couple of alternatives. They said this is probably not going to work here, and work on the others. And I think we're doing that. I don't think we're there yet. I think it's a worthwhile process. I think it's a laborious process, but I think we have to commit ourselves to it. As several people have said, and I think the committee recognizes, we can deal with the, we're doing pretty well dealing with the cars. We're not doing too well dealing with the people yet, tying McIntyre Park to the downtown Charlottesville. I urge you and us as a steering committee to keep plugging at that. A concern I have is the bypass is really our parkway. This road should improve that access. It's a beautiful road. What we're putting through the park really is an urban road. We may call it Meadow Creek Parkway, but it is 0.6 miles through the park where we want to enhance the park. I'm concerned that this process in the planning process, which goes to the planning comprehensive document, I suppose, but also your job, is separating these two projects artificially. That as far as I know, there is no citizen input into whatever planning is going on for the road through the park and how it will meet with the interchange. I understand that there's federal and legal reasons why people may want to try to separate them, but hopefully that will not be a price paid by the community for that artificiality. I think it'll work. I think it'll take a while, and I urge us all to keep involved. And I believe the Planning Commission, for a project of this magnitude in the community, has a role, and I hope you find what it is. Thank you.
Thank you. The next and sixth speaker is Wendy Winkler, 817 A. Cabell Avenue. And the seventh speaker is Timothy Hulbert, 2246 Brandywine Drive.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, as you know, my name is Timothy Hulbert, and I live and work within the city of Charlottesville. First, you may know that I also work for the Chamber of Commerce, and we have been a strong supporter of the Meadow Creek Parkway for some number of the 40 years in which it has been discussed. And we're slow to support the notion of an interchange. We have maintained all along, as is very clear, that the interchange and the parkway are separate and distinct projects, and we maintained always and continue to maintain that the parkway can be built without an interchange. Would an interchange improve not only a parkway, but US 250 and McIntyre Road? Is very clear, the thorough scientific evidence from the engineers and others and the citizen input is that that would do that. So I'm here tonight to say that our chamber and I personally, to the extent that that's meaningful, support the notion of an interchange as being compatible with the comprehensive plan. And by that I mean the 2001 comprehensive plan, because that's the one you're bound by law to observe. That comprehensive plan notes the difficulty at this section of roadway. And this separate and distinct project, federal project, brought to us by a big community effort and with the intervention of Senator Warner, improves that section of roadway. And, in fact, would improve a parkway should that parkway be built. They are separately useful, and they are separately complementary to the comprehensive plan. I would urge that you recommend to the City Council your finding that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan and that it... Thank you.
The next and last signed up speaker is Bob Hodes, 1309 Lester Drive.
Thank you. I am Bob Hodes. I live at 1309 Lester Drive. I'm a member of the steering committee and I'm the chamber's representative on the steering committee. Before talking a little bit about the comprehensive plan, I did want to thank RK&K for their wonderful work that they've provided to the steering committee. City staff person Angela Tucker has also been excellent assistant, and I also appreciate the other members of the steering committee. I think this committee has worked very hard. I looked at a couple of portions of the comprehensive plan. I have to admit I looked at 2007, but I focused upon sections which are indicated as not being changed from the 2001 comprehensive plan. The one thing that's already been mentioned has been safety. I'm personally an individual who has witnessed the lack of safety when you come off of Park Street, turn west, and then try to turn south on McIntyre Road. It is one of the most dangerous things that I've ever done at peak AM traffic time. I used to do it quite frequently. Thank goodness I don't do it anymore. The interchange obviously will help improve the safety of that intersection, and it's one of the things that's focused upon. Another thing that's focused upon in the comprehensive plan is trying to improve pedestrian and bicycle access along McIntyre Road. What is being looked at by the steering committee, what may not have been completely indicated in some of the slides that were presented, as noted by Mr. Perry, is a strong desire to improve pedestrian and bicycle access along McIntyre Road and also from Park Street. We're looking at pathways coming down along the ramp that comes from Park Street west onto the bypass. So there is a real emphasis in doing this as required by the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan also notes that Park Street is considered a minor collector, which I think may historically be wrong when you look back at some of the plans of the city of Charlottesville back into the years early 1800s, but that is what is desired at this time by the city. If this interchange is built, obviously the parkway itself will have the greatest effect, but the interchange itself will enhance this, and therefore I think it's also consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan also focuses upon community facilities. McIntyre Park is shown as a major park, one of two major parks of the city. And the desire to have greater access is something that's mentioned in the comprehensive plan. One of the things that everybody is focusing upon is how to improve, the steering committee is focusing upon, is how to improve access for pedestrians, bicyclists, and also motorists. And some of the motorist access may be outside of where we're working, but it is definitely an interest. Consequently, because of those reasons, I think that definitely this proposal or having an interchange, a grade separated interchange, does meet the requirements of the comprehensive plan, is consistent with it, and that you should so find. I'd like to speak to one thing Mr. Ferrugio mentioned that he was going to speak to it, but I also noted it when the member of the Veterans Society was up here. One of the things that the steering committee is also focused upon and is very concerned about is moving, maintaining, and in fact enhancing the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. There is no desire to pave this over. There is a desire to improve, to enhance, and make it more visible because we do honor the veterans.
Thank you very much.
After a short recess, members of the Planning Commission discussed whether the interchange is consistent with the 2001 Comprehensive Plan and then considered a motion.
Two members of the Planning Commission who are here tonight are on the steering committee. I'd like to begin by asking them to just comment as they wish to, you know, expand our understanding of their role, our role, what you think, where we are, and we'll take it then from there.
I'll start.
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Hodes stole my fire from Mr. Kelly. There's a few things that I want to go over just from the comments that we received tonight, more for the public's education from our end of what we're going into rather than anything else. It's not going to be so much a matter of the vote that we take tonight, but this is a lot of information that was shared tonight that I think we should comment on. For the public watching on TV, the Vietnam Memorial, there is no, and there has never been even the slightest thought of consideration or destruction or paving over or hiding of the memorial. That was very high on the list from the very beginning to enhance access and visibility to the memorial. So I can assure anybody who's watching that that would happen. That was one very, very important thing. Also, modes of travel enhancement. This is going to enhance the modes of travel travel. This is going to have a bike path from downtown to Rio Road. So it's not enhancing the modes of travel. That's one that's going to be enhanced greatly. As well as mentioned was greenhouse gases. From what I've learned, making traffic sit still at a light posts a lot of greenhouse gases into the road. Having the cars roll forward is less greenhouse gases. So I think this is going to work for us in that favor. Also, we have overwhelmingly, it was pointed out that the pedestrian and bike access might not be that great, but we have overwhelmingly debated the ways to improve the pedestrian bike access. And unsafe and unworkable were words that we've been working with the whole time to make things more safe and more workable. One feeling that was pushed was having at-grade crossings, and that's one thing that the majority of the folks on the steering committee have been pushing against is at-grade crossings, but having grade separated crossings. In fact, one of the three final designs we're looking at, one of them is all separated, and two of them do have at-grade crossings. So we're pushing for the separated crossings. I'm sorry, one separated, two at-grade. Concern for the noise is to be addressed. It is something that is ongoing, and it can't be done as quickly, but the studies are being done on the noise. Something was said about maybe you're doing better with the cars, but not as well with the people. I think we're doing well with the people. What we're doing now is better than what's currently there, and we do have some design stipulations that we've been talking about continuously to make it even better than what it is now. So I think you'll see great improvements over working well with the people. I can't tell you how much that's been brought up in conversations and debate about this is not good enough for the pedestrians and this is not good enough for the bicyclists. I mean, it's a constant talk of discussion. And that's it. That's all the points I wanted to cover.
I think my points are in the same vein, just picking up on some things that were mentioned. With regard to the Vietnam Veteran Memorial, our steering committee was assured that the city had been in contact with caretakers of that memorial, and the comments that we heard earlier this evening just took me off guard, and I know that's not the intent. It's been high on our priority list to preserve and, in fact, probably increase the visitation to that site if we had to relocate it and just improve the location if we had to locate it, improve its access. You know, it currently sits on a knoll, and I don't think it has many people that go there and participate in it. But we need to work on that. So that clearly is, and it has been a priority for the committee. I wanted to just thank one important member of our committee, and that's Councillor Lynch, who you notice is the only councillor who's still here. He has been a real. He refused to chair our committee at the beginning because he said he wanted to be able to participate in it as he has fully, but without his leadership, we really wouldn't have been able to pull a lot of the disparate voices together. And I'm not politically motivated to say that. I just want to commend him for always moving us forward thoughtfully. I also wanted to comment on the transparency of our process. We've had 9 public meetings. We've allowed public comment. Several of these meetings have been public formats that were dedicated solely to getting input from the public. The website, which is maintained by RK&K, is excellent. During the 2-day meeting that we had at the beginning of March, there were boards and information that were put up simultaneously with the meeting going on, just, you know, almost simulcast, so that if anybody were not able to make it to the meeting, they can always go there and find out what's going on. Design drawings, PDFs, it's a great public information format, and um, I I was shocked after our two-day long meeting in May when a member of the public who was actually here earlier wrote in a very public place that he believed that our May meetings, which were well attended by the public, fully attended by our steering committee, he made a comment that he believed that the outcome of those meetings, which was an unexpected consensus about one of the designs, it wasn't where we thought we were going to the meeting, it just sort of happened. But his comment was that he believed that the meeting had been manipulated. And I just need to refute that as strongly as I can. As you can see by the members of this committee, we don't all come from the same place. We're very different. Everybody has worked to agree on consensus. We try to make decisions without taking votes. It's been, it's a difficult process. It's a very long process, as my colleague John Conover said. But I think the steering committee is to be commended. We've done a great job, but it has been a very transparent and non-manipulated process. I was shocked to hear that, and I just wanted to comment about that if anybody saw that publicly posted. As far as pedestrian crossings, we have made it a priority that we will not allow at-grade pedestrian crossings. That was gone over in last week's meeting. We're all in agreement with that. Our criteria, in fact, that we stated is whether a 7-year-old could cross both of these roads safely, and that's our basis right now. So I actually disagree with the gentleman who spoke earlier, who said we'd sort of been willy-nilly about this subject. We've been very, very stern on that subject, and while I agree that we don't have drawings in front of us that show the exact location and the elevations and so forth of the pedestrian crossings, I have a feeling that those are really forthcoming. There's a lot of pressure from the committee to get those out of the design people right now. But they know where we stand on it. They know our priorities. Finally, I just want to say, as far as the comprehensive plan and our review here is concerned, I don't believe that we need detailed design drawings to make this decision. I think staff's report, Ms. Tucker's report, hits the points, and I think that this design as it currently is plainly in accord with our comp plan. Let me tell you, we spend more time at these meetings talking about pedestrian crossings and bike access and two different types of bike, recreational bike and commuting bike, than we ever talk about actually vehicular issues. That's where the committee has been focused all along, and on other features that will be affected in our city, like the rescue squad location, like the Vietnam Vets Memorial, like the historic property that's just been discovered on the MACA site. Those are the things that we've been focused on, not traffic counts, not not heavy road design, ASHTO standards. We've been focused on the things that will touch and concern the citizens of this city, and I'm really proud of the process that we've been through. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Are there other other comments from other commissioners? Mitchell? I have a few. This is a rather large and important project. The Planning Commission has not had a work session on the interchange or the Meadow Creek Parkway. We have no staff report of consequence. To the extent we have any staff report, it came via email yesterday. It was not available to the public or to the planning commissioners, and some perhaps still have not read it. There was no guidance in terms of the arranging for this meeting as to whether... as to whether we would act tonight or not, nor to the public. Consequently, I don't really know to what extent this amounts to a public hearing of consequence, though it is indeed a public hearing. This may or may not be the only time in which the Planning Commission will vote on this project, but no discussions have occurred, as far as I know, about when or why or whether, and then under what conditions the Planning Commission might again deal with the subject. It therefore seems very likely to me that whatever vote we take tonight will be taken either as approval or disapproval of the project. There are major differences between the 2001 comprehensive plan and the 2007 comprehensive plan, but not total differences. Finding compliance with 2007 would perhaps be more difficult, though actually not necessarily. It depends on how certain key terms are interpreted. Character and extent is a lot different than location, and character and extent imply quite a bit about content, though how much clearly is debatable or discussable. The staff report can be interpreted in more than one way. I interpret it as meaning that, in fact, it's not consistent with the comprehensive plan because it includes a statement, significant design challenges are yet to be resolved regarding pedestrian crossings due to topography and budget limitations. It then follows with three or so pages about what the comprehensive plan says about pedestrian access and goes into considerable length, including access to parks as a second priority in general, with schools being first priority for pedestrian emphasis, and also includes comments about pedestrian access in this general circumstance. It does seem as though a lot of good work has been done. But I think, as Mr. Conover said, it's not there yet. And so, given the unusual nature of the staff work and the lack of prior discussion, that clearly raises some question about why this timing, and it does seem indeed like a rush, at least at this stage. Now, that may be because the Planning Commission is considered of no consequence, or of very little consequence, separate from the membership of the Steering Committee. It may mean be because there's been some complicated interpretation of the timing and what all the steps are needed to get to a certain place by a certain deadline. But that's not known to us either, if that indeed is the case, and it could be. So I think those are all major problems, and all speak to both procedural deficiencies as well as inability to conclude that the status of the project at this time is consistent with the comprehensive plan, though indeed it could become so. So that's my summary view and the reason why I will vote no.
Mr. Chair, I'd ask that you call the question.
We have to make a motion.
Oh, let's make a motion.
I have a motion that I'm prepared to introduce.
I'd like to move to close discussion.
All right. Mr. Frugio. I make a motion that the general or approximate location, character, and extent of the proposed interchange is substantially in accord with the city's adopted comprehensive plan or part thereof. Reasons for approval are found in the 2001 comprehensive plan under section chapter 10, transportation, on pages 37, 5, and 19, as well as the park section on an unknown page number asking for or requesting greater access to the parks.
I'd like to second.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
I don't think I'd like just to comment that a discussion of the merits of the Meadow Creek Parkway was certainly beyond our purview this evening. I have to disagree with comments made by the chair that we should have been given an opportunity to review that project. It's unrelated to the work of the
I didn't say that, but you can disagree with something I didn't say if you wish. Anything else?
I am curious to hear a response from my colleagues who are on the committee to the chair's comments, and I did not interpret his comments to be that necessarily in relation to the Meadow Creek Parkway, but in relation to the interchange and the level of discussion that would be appropriate at the Planning Commission, and whether, for instance, a work session would be appropriate for the Planning Commission for discussion of this component of the project. And we did receive, in fact, I am one of the commissioners who apparently received the staff report via email but did not review it because I didn't realize that I had received it via email. So I just reviewed it rapidly as I could on the dais, but do feel like this is a very important project, and if indeed our input is important, I should be making a decision on the basis of a staff report. What I had was a PowerPoint a PowerPoint that documented the past process that I received by mail, but not the staff report that apparently I received from Mr. Ferrugio. So I do share some of the concerns that Mr. Lucy aired, and I'd just be curious about your feedback on that.
Sure. Let me ask you, is one of the concerns the design issue?
Not at all. Just the question. I understand perfectly that the question before us is whether or not the location, character, and extent of the proposed interchange is consistent with the comprehensive plan. And I don't know how to assess that. And I have done my best to rapidly review the staff report in order to use that to make a determination. And I also attempted to use the PowerPoint slides that I had received in order to assess that, and had difficulty. And I still have difficulty. And I thought Mr. Lucy described well the condition of difficulty that I find myself in trying to make this determination. And I don't know whether to vote yes or no or just...
What do you, I guess, Mr. Frugio and I would ask you, what do you lack? What would need to be in front of you and Mr. Lucy at this point?
Perhaps it's the time to review the staff report. I mean, that maybe since I received it literally here, and
I actually sent out an email requesting a staff report on Friday. Had you seen that email? Because I copied all the Planning Commission on it and said I wondered if we could focus on, because I noticed the agenda was asked for our review of this under the comp plan, and I knew the steering committee had just met last Monday, and I think it was Friday that I sent an email to Ms. Tucker just saying, can we refine the scope of our discussion tonight and get some analysis on the comp plan? And I mean, I think she replied within one business day. I don't know if there seems to be a concern that this process, that there may be some rush or that we're subject to some schedule. And maybe Mr. Lynch might be able to contribute to this discussion, but there are some emails that I also exchanged with Mr. Brown on this issue. After our May meeting, I think a decision was made to schedule this meeting for this month. And I don't think that it was because of any rush in the overall agenda or the chronology by RKK or the committee. I think Mr. Lynch knew that probably, if I'm phrasing it correctly, that City Council's sort of mandate to these consultants needed to be renewed and reviewed if it was going to proceed. And then at the same time, Mr. Brown advised us that a review under 15.2.22.32 would be appropriate, and that was why this would come before us. I asked whether the plans were at a point where we could make that decision, and Mr. Brown said that he thought that we could, that the information was in front of us. And I said, well, would we have to come back one more time with the final plans? And my understanding from your emails was, no, this, we have enough in a general scope of the project to be able to look at this now. So I don't think, if anybody feels like this is a fire drill, it really isn't. I think this happened for our agenda and for other purposes, that this was when this came forward. I don't know if
Can I speak to that a little bit? At our May meeting, when the steering committee met, as the consultants noted, there was some coalescence around one of the options, and we thought it would make sense to pursue one with another option as a backup. So we were narrowing down on focusing on two options now. And I'll take some responsibility, I guess, for the speed of which this came forward, because at that point I became concerned that the steering committee was in some sense outrunning or getting ahead of its City Council mandate, which the City Council had asked the Steering Committee and the consultants to develop a range of options to come back to City Council, and then City Council would choose one to move forward with. And so since it seemed that there was a consensus around one of those options, and we don't want to waste this consultant's time, and in fact this project is, we are a little bit behind the eight ball in terms of timing to get this project done at the time that the Meadow Creek Parkway itself is done. We are a little bit behind schedule. So my concern is to make sure that City Council has a chance to review this and say, yes, we either agree with the Steering Committee's recommendation or not. And before City Council can make that recommendation, we do want to hear from the Planning Commission. Now, as far as I'm concerned, the legal requirement of the Planning Commission is simply to look at this with respect to fitting with the comprehensive plan. I certainly would appreciate any of your input with respect to which of the designs are better than others. I think even though that's beyond the purview of what's legally required, there's certainly nothing preventing your input from that. And I also think that from my perspective, it would be acceptable to have a statement similar to the one with UVA to say this could work if certain things are addressed. Certainly, I'm not comfortable with this, with any of these designs exactly as they are. I think they're close enough and we're going in the right direction, but I'm not satisfied with the pedestrian access. So if you wanted to say, this can work, but we need to fix the pedestrian access, I certainly have no problem with that. Or we need to preserve the Vietnam Veteran Memorial, any other stipulation that you feel we need to make sure remains in this design. So we're not asking you to bless this, but really to give us your input on this so that we can continue to move forward.
Mr. Fujo, I gather you want to stay with the motion that you have?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would move to call the question.
Okay. Ms. Creasy, call the question.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Pearson?
Abstain.
Mr. Fujo?
Aye.
Mr. Creasy?
No. Passes 3-1-1. Did I hear that correctly?
Okay. Yep.
This is Charlottesville Tomorrow. The interchange alternatives will next go before the City Council at its meeting on July 2nd. Charlottesville Tomorrow will bring you coverage of that event, as well as any other new developments concerning the Meadow Creek Parkway and its interchange. Visit us on the web at civiltomorrow.org.